wife, Pastor Craddock, and his wife were in the Smoky Mountains, and they were eating at a restaurant. And they had a man come up to them and said, "Well, are you on vacation?" And they said, "Well, yes." And he kept coming, and he said, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And Pastor was thinking in the back and said, "Well, that's none of your business," basically. But he thought, "Well, I'll go with it. Well, I'm a minister." We ministers often don't want to admit to that sometimes, you know. But anyway, he said, "I'm a minister." And the guy just kind of lightens up and says, "Oh, I have a story for you." And he pulls up a chair to their table, sits down, and starts telling the story. He says, "You know, I grew up not too far from here, out in the mountains, a little town. And I went to this Laurel Springs church. But my mom was never married. And back in that town, and when this was all going on, that was a bad thing. You know, you felt ashamed about that sort of thing." He said, "I grew up embarrassed." And so he said, "You know, when it came like time for lunch at school, in grade school, I would go out and I would sit in the weeds by the creek because the kids would pick on me." And he said, "When we walked through town and we had people staring at us, you could tell they're kind of looking at me to see, they could pick out, you know, who my daddy was, and you know, the resemblance there. They're looking for that." He said, "Well, at this Laurel Springs church, he had this preacher, and he kind of had this rough-hewn face, he had a long beard, and he had a deep voice. I was kind of scared of him, but he also fascinated me. I liked his preaching. And so I would go, and I'd come in right when he'd start preaching, and I'd sit. And as soon as he was done, I'd get out of there as quick as I could." He said, "One day, though, I was trying to get out of there fast, but I didn't make my move soon enough. The people filled the aisles, so there I was behind all these people. And I was standing there kind of waiting my time, and all of a sudden a hand came on my shoulders. And I looked up and over, and the preacher was just staring at me. Just sitting there staring at me." He said, "I was scared to death, I was sweating, and he looked at me for a while, and finally he said, 'Boy, you're a child of,' just left it hanging." Of course, in this man's mind, this young boy's mind, he's thinking, "Oh no, here we go again. He's trying to guess who my daddy was, like everybody else was trying to guess who my daddy was." After a while, he said, "You're a child of, I know, you're a child of God. I see a striking resemblance." And then he, as he swatted me on the bottom, and he said, "Now go out and claim your inheritance." Wonderful story. Story, I think it gets at what Jesus was talking about in our gospel reading in Luke today. A Jesus who kind of upends things. A Jesus who reverses things. A Jesus who puts a change into the world for wholeness and healing. You know, after this man said that, he told Craddock, he said, "I was born that day. It was such a transformative experience that I was born that day." Well, Jesus' first words in Luke's gospel are these words that we're reading out of Isaiah for today. And if you remember how it began, it really sets the tone, I think, for Luke's gospel in many ways. Jesus who changes and upends and reverses things. So it began saying, "The Lord has brought me, the Spirit of the Lord, to preach good news to the poor." And that's a big change, isn't it? It's poor used to bad news. That's the reality. Poor are used to bad news. The bad news of scarcity. Bad news of not having enough. And in Jesus' day, I mean, it was serious. Not having enough food to live on. Not having the clothes or the shelter. The poor have the bad news that when things go wrong, they don't have anything to dig themselves out of a hole. The poor have the problem that they don't have the resources to get things like education so that they might get ahead. And walking around in society, people pick them out and say, "Well, they're lesser. They're not as valuable of people. They're looked down upon." And in Jesus' day, that came with some the common thinking of the day theologically about God was that, you know, God blesses those who follow the law, who do what God tells them to do. They prosper materially. So the second part of that, of course, becomes what? If you're poor, you must be doing something wrong, that you're not living according to what God would have you do. And that's why God is basically punishing you because you're poor. And yet here Jesus is saying all these things, these good things, are fulfilled in him. So So what is he? The people he's talking to that day, I bet their ears perked up a lot on this one, because most of them were probably poor. Most people were poor back in Jesus' time. And here was someone from God walking among them poor, like they were. That alone is remarkable. To know that God is with you, that somehow God's presence is there with the poor, that's already cracking at things, isn't it? And then to see him love them with things like healing, which, again, they can't get, with things like feeding them on occasion, and even teaching them, seeing them as valuable enough people that you teach them about God and God's ways in the world, to consider them people of account. Well, the next thing Jesus does, of course, is he reads that the next line from Isaiah is release to the captives. Now, if you were back in Jesus' day and asked people who's the captives, they probably think about people in prison. And there were people in prison, both political prisoners and criminals. But Jesus never really did much with them. The kind of captivity that Jesus really worked on was those who were captive to their demons. I know that isn't something that sets well with a lot of us modern people today. But if you think about it, you know, demons, modern people are often caught up in their thinking and kind of self-destructive. They were caught up in their impulses, and they were powerless to change that. They were just so caught in their demons that someone had to come and cast them out, free them for them, because they couldn't get there themselves. And Jesus was that one who brought release to these captives. He brought sight to the blind, and again, the physical blind were healed, obviously, but every case where he healed someone who was physically blind, they also came to spiritual sight, called faith. I think the blind man sitting on the roadside, Mark's gospel, crying out, "Lord, Christ, have mercy on me," you know, crying out loud. He just kept crying. And finally, Jesus goes over and, "What do you want?" Which was an obvious question, but he says, you know, that I might see, that my eyes might be opened. And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he could see, and he came and he followed Jesus. He had this spiritual sight of who Jesus was, that he was with them, that things had changed, that things had turned in the world, and that God was there. Well, the third thing Jesus notes out of this is that he brings freedom to the oppressed. And if you ask the people in Jesus' day what the oppression was, they'd say the Roman Empire. I mean, they had Roman soldiers in their country, the Romans ruled, they extracted their taxes, they told them how they were going to live, they brought their gods, there was a sense of oppression from the Romans. Again, if you look at what happened, Jesus never kicked the Romans out. He never even tried to kick the Romans out. What kind of oppression did he bring? What kind of freedom from oppression did he bring? And I think that gets back to the thinking of the day. And against that thinking, I've already mentioned that, you know, somehow if you do what is right and good according to the law, that somehow, you know, you're going to be blessed, particularly materially blessed. And you must be being punished then if you're poor, things are going bad for you. It's a sign that you're being punished. Well, that gets to be pretty impressive pretty fast. I mean, that just kind of weighs on people in a sense. And so what does Jesus do? He hangs out, eats with some of the worst of notorious sinners, those who are most far from what they thought God would have them do. He hangs out, he eats with these people. And then he goes and forgives their sins. And so he says freedom for these people to say they're not judged. They're not under this weight, this way. Well, obviously today things have shifted some from some of the mentalities, some of the situations that we have back when Jesus walked the earth. But I think a number of these things bring us good news still today. There's still good news for us today. And I think of that first, that one that he says, release to the captives. And we might not get into the demon thing, but we all know something about the impulsiveness they're talking about here. Anybody out there caught up in their impulses at times, doing things just impulsively and wondering, I can't believe I did that again. How do I stop myself? Or maybe the thoughts, the self-destructive thoughts that wind round and round and round, we kind of obsess about things. We can't get them out of our heads. So we lay down at night, and what do? It just keeps on round and round and round and round in our heads. We can't free ourselves from our demons. And there's a presence among us now and in our lives. It's bringing release to those very things. It's saving us from our worst selves, our worst sides, and trying to bring us out of a captivity or release. And that power comes through the Jesus who is with us. Sight to the blind. We live in a culture now that's fairly secular. So at work, you're not going to hear anything about God down at the restaurant or possibly even around your family or wherever else. You're certainly not going to see it much in the media. So no one's really helping us see how God might be present in the world. In fact, what we see a lot of is the opposite, how the bad things that are going on and how maybe God feels absent in the world or God isn't doing enough for us in the world. We look out and go, man, how can it be like this? How God can, and we get inundated with these kinds of things. And when Christianity comes up or anything, sometimes it's even put down or seen as lesser. And we need help with eyes of faith in our time to see that we're not alone, that there are things that God's Spirit is doing and unleashing, that the Spirit of God continues to work in and through and around us, and God give us eyes to see that. Otherwise, the weights, it's heavy. The blindness is heavy. Freedom for those who are oppressed. Now, we aren't oppressed by a foreign military power or anything like that. We have freedoms that are beyond what most people have dreamed of in ancient days. And yet I think we get oppressed in our thinking. When Jesus came out in the other gospel, some of the first words he said was repent. You know what repent is? Change your thinking. Now I think few things oppress us like our thinking can oppress us. We may not have the same theological thing that they did in the ancient world, oppressed like that, but we get oppressed around things like being super responsible. And by that, it means extending our sense of responsibility beyond what really is on us. Now, there are things we're responsible for, like if you're going to have lunch today, you're going to have to stick it on the table. Just telling you that right now. If you're going to show up, there's responsibilities we do have in our lives. But we extend that out to just so many things that, like, if a certain member of our family isn't doing well, like, that's all on our shoulders. If we just say the right thing or do the right thing, somehow that would all be better in our family, and we wear those responsibilities. Or maybe at our work, or maybe we just look out in the world and just say, well, if I was a better person or did all these things, then all these bad things wouldn't be happening. So we get these super responsibilities, we get burdened by that. And like in the ancient world, we get burdened by judgments. We swim in a society that judges us for so many things. What we look like. How heavy we are or aren't, how old we are or aren't, how fast we are or aren't, on and on we go, we're judged. What kind of toys we have or don't have. And we're judged. And here's God saying, none of that matters. Presence of Jesus saying, now you are God's child. You are beloved of him. God is with us in this whole thing. We can let go of some of these things. Well, that gets me back to that story I opened up with, because it's just this marvelous story, kind of embodying a lot of what Jesus is talking about here. Because here is a young man, if you hear it, who was, oppressed by society, that judged him harshly, did it not? And looked at him and thought, who's your daddy? Just getting under his skin that way with an oppression. Here's a one who knew a captivity to his own shame. Hiding out in the weeds. That's captive to shame, is it not? Hiding from people so they don't even see you, don't even know you exist to protect yourself. There's a captivity and an oppression all over that. And really a blindness that God would be with him or care about him or that God was active in his life at all, that he had a person of any kind of value. And a preacher with marvelous insight, maybe instinctual insight, came up to him and said, you're a child of. You see what he was doing there? He was making sure this boy could feel it. He wasn't just going to go, oh, you're a child of God, move on. He brought the shame up to him. He knew what was going on with this boy. And he made him feel it. You're a child of. And so it rose up in this boy. And he knew it was on the top. And he said, you're a child of, I see it. You're a child of God. I see the striking resemblance. Wow. There's freedom all over. There's, lease all over that. And he swats him on the butt and says, go claim your inheritance. Go live into this thing. Wow. And he said, I was born that day. You know, when you know the freedom, when you feel it again, when you feel the release, when you feel the sight hit you again, it is like you're a new person. It's like you're born. And so it is for you. I see the striking resemblance. You're a child of God. You are all children of God. And I'd invite you, like that preacher did, go out and claim that inheritance. Live it. Free and released, seen.